I don't get these people think they're supposed to go to church with a frown on their face all the time. Never smile about anything. Like the old song says, some people ain't happy unless they're mad. Amen. And most of them's church folk.
Yeah.
Amen. Pretty serious message tonight. I hope you're enjoying the book of Revelation. Had some ladies this past Sunday night at the play practice asking questions. That means I like it when people do that because they're listening and paying attention. Amen. And they're actually studying and thinking about things. Revelation 13, if you go back to Revelation chapter 12, it basically, what I preached last week, the last part of that chapter basically repeats itself. It just goes into a little more detail maybe than what I preached about last week, so that's why I went ahead and come to chapter 13 this week. Verse 1, chapter 13, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as were it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word, God. Lord, like we want to reiterate again, Lord, this is the only book that we can actually read that we know we're going to be blessed by reading it. We know we're going to be blessed by hearing it. And we know we're going to be blessed by taking heed to the words, God. God, and I ask your hand to be upon us right now. Help us as we get into this message, Lord. Touch hearts right now, God. Help us, the Lord, to take and apply this to our heart so that we could might be better Christians, better witnesses for you, Lord. Have your way right now, and we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's consider what the Bible says about this ruler who is called the man of sin and the son of perdition. We find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The Antichrist gives us an opportunity to look at how Satan operates as an imitator. Most of us have heard that all of our life, that Satan is a great imitator. Now, he takes what God does and tries to duplicate it. We know that Jesus is God's son. No doubt. Amen. That Jesus is God's son. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, I heard one guy on YouTube here a while back said that Jesus never claimed to be God. But that's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Amen. He said in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? We know that Jesus is God's Son. We know that Jesus is God in the flesh. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but the Antichrist, what happens here is Satan is trying to duplicate the Trinity. Satan is trying to, the Antichrist is going to be Satan's attempt to kind of make the Antichrist in line with Jesus. The Antichrist is going to be a living, breathing human being. He's going to be a living, breathing incarnation of the devil. He will be the devil incarnate. Basically, he is going to be the devil in flesh. As Jesus is God in the flesh, this is what the Antichrist do. We know that God is the triune being. We know we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is one God that operates in three different persons. All three are one God. We understand that. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13, we are introduced to the satanic trinity. Satan imitates God the Father. The Antichrist imitates God the Son. The false prophet imitates God the Holy Spirit. That is the satanic trinity. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about this in this chapter. In verse 1 and 2, we have the appearance of the beast. The Bible says that how he originates. He comes, John says he's standing on the seashore, and he sees this beast come from out of the seashore. Now, let me say this. This is symbolic language here. John is describing in a vision what he is seeing. And what this basically is, the sea basically represents the masses of humanity. We see this beast rising up from the human race. We see this beast, the individual is going to come from men. In other words, while he may possess certain powers, but he will be a human. We understand that the Antichrist is going to be empowered by Satan, and he'll have tremendous power. But unlike Jesus, he will have a human mother. He will have a human father. He is trying to imitate, but he will not be God. He is going to be a human that is satanically empowered. Nobody knows where he comes from. Nobody knows what nationality that he is. I've heard all kinds of things my whole life about this. Now, the Bible does say that he will lead a 10-nation confederacy. So a lot of people think that he might be European by birth. Daniel chapter 11, verse 37 tells us this, that he will not regard the law of his fathers or the God of his fathers. This verse leads some people to believe that he might even be an Israelite. My feeling, and I've thought about this, my feeling over the years has been the nation of Israel is not going to follow a Muslim. The nation of Israel is not going to follow someone that's not somehow associated with the nation of Israel. So I'm not saying that if anybody tells you they know where the Antichrist comes from, they're lying. Amen. Nobody knows. Now, how he operates, verse 1 and 2 talks about this. Let me say this again. This is symbolic in language. The Bible says he has seven heads. Revelation 17, verse 9 says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Revelation chapter 17 is a passage about the great harlot or the great apostate church that's going to dominate world religion during the tribulation period. We're told that the harlot sits on seven hills, and there's only one city in the world that's built on seven hills. That's the city of Rome. That leads a lot of people to believe and to think that that in the end time, the great harlot church that the Bible talks about will be the Roman Catholic Church. We know that the Roman Catholic Church is worldwide. We understand that. And I'm not saying it is. I'm just telling you what people think. Then the Bible goes on to say it has 10 horns. Horns are symbolic of power and authority. Revelation 17, verse 12, we're told that the 10 horns represent 10 different kings. The Bible says that he has 10 crowns. These kings have great authority and power. The Antichrist will rise from among the federation of 10 powerful kings. That's where the Antichrist comes from. Then it goes on to say that he'll have the names of blasphemy. These world leaders will stand in open defiance to everything that's godly. We're about there now. These world leaders are going to be in open defiance of everything that's godly. Most believe that there's going to be a revival, that this is going to kind of be a revival of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, we understand from studying history, was never really defeated. The Roman Empire just kind of fell apart. There have been a lot of attempts down through the years to revive the Roman Empire. Charlemagne tried to do it. Napoleon tried to do it. Even Adolf Hitler tried to do it, but they all failed. And apparently the Roman Empire will be revived again, and the Antichrist will dominate that. We're already seeing a lot of this come to pass. Brother Roberts, when he started singing that song, that last song, prophecy being fulfilled. Amen. Already, the European Union has already started up. It's got, right now there's 27 nations that's already in that, and there's more lined up to join the European, the European Union. Land occupied by these nations covers much of the land that was occupied by the original Roman Empire. Now, to understand the deception that we're going to get into of the beast in the next few verses, I want to let's go to Daniel chapter 7 in Daniel's vision. He describes these great world empires that one day are going to follow one right after another at the end of time. Now, you ain't got to turn there. I promise you I'm reading out of the King James Bible. I know y'all didn't question that anyhow. So, Daniel chapter 7, verse 3, and four great beasts came from up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and he had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made a stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up out itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it and the teeth of it, and it said, and said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, lo, and another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this I saw in night visions, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake into pieces and stamped the residue of the feet with it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that was before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, which whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, this horn was were eyes like an eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. Daniel speaks about a lion in verse 4. The beast pictured in the Babylonian Empire at the time. The lion, like the Babylonian Empire, is a powerful, fearsome, and had an appetite for domination. Daniel goes on and talks about in verse 5 about the bear. The bear speaks of the Medo-Persian Empire. Like the bear, it possessed incredible power to crush its enemies. All this is history. You can go back and study all this. The leopard in verse 6 talks about the Greek Empire. It's called a leopard because the Greeks were quick to dominate the world. The fourth beast in verse 7 is the Roman Empire. With teeth of iron, they dominated the ancient world. The Antichrist is going to possess the power and personalities of all these ancient empires combined. He's going to combine all their strengths. He's going to have all their strengths and none of their weaknesses. He's going to be a powerful man. Next thing the book of Revelation talks about, a body like a leopard, that means that his rise to power is going to be swift. It's almost going to be like overnight. I mean, you think about this. We're talking about a world leader that's going to dominate the world that will take over in less than 7 years. Go from nothing to dominating the world in less than 7 years. That's swift. Then feet like a bear, he's going to crush all of his opponents. Mouth like a lion. With a lion, he's going to devour anybody that is standing in his way. The Bible says that he is called a beast. The word beast refers to a wild animal that's ravaging or ripping apart the flesh of all of its prey. That's exactly what the Antichrist will be doing. He is going to kill and maim like a wild animal, just going through the whole world. Now, how he officiates, he gets his power from Satan. That's where he gets all of his power. The Antichrist is going to take what Jesus refused in Matthew chapter 4. You remember when Jesus was taken out to the wilderness, and we see this in our play, how he's taken out to the wilderness, and Satan says, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll just bow down and worship me. I'll give you everything. I'll give all this can be yours if you'll just bow down and worship. That's what Satan has been trying to do since the beginning, since he was kicked out of heaven. He is trying to get the world and somebody to worship him. What Jesus refused to do in the wilderness, the Antichrist will do. He'll bow down. He's going to offer him everything, and this is where he gets his power from. Let me say this. I don't know how many of y'all have seen the old movies, the old movie, The Omen. How many remember those old movies, The Omen? Some of y'all youngins need to go back and watch that. Don't watch it in the dark by yourself. I'm telling you, it'll scare you. But in those movies, this child grows up, Brother Robert, and he's mean from the start. His name's Damien. He's supposed to be the Antichrist. I'm not sure, from studying this Bible, I'm not sure if the Antichrist even knows he's the Antichrist until Satan comes on the scene with him. He could be living right now, just going about his daily life. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe that Judas knew he was going to deny Jesus or turn Jesus in right up under the time that he did it. So the Antichrist could be operating right now in some political party somewhere in the world, and he don't even know that he's going to be the Antichrist. But I'm telling you, when Satan comes and offers all this to him, he's going to accept it. And that's where he gets his power from. Now, verse 3 and 4, let's look at the accolades of the beast. Verse 3, he says he is going to go back. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All the world wonders. All the world is in amazement. You've got this man. He rises to power through something that happens. We don't know what it is. It could have been an assassination attempt. It could be an accident. But through something happens, Jackie, and this man receives a deadly wound to his head. And through the satanic power, he is revived again. He is brought back to life. And all the world is in amazement. Imagine how that's going to look. Imagine how people are just going to fall for this man when all this happens. He comes back to life. The world's wonder and amazement. Now, remember I told you that Satan is an imitator. Satan is trying to duplicate what Jesus did in the grave. Satan is trying to be God. The Antichrist is set up like the sun. The sun is dead. He rises back up. But you got to understand something. Satan is going to have to raise him up. Jesus got up by himself. Amen. So you understand something. He comes back to life, and all the world is wondering in amazement. I thought about this as I was studying. Jesus died, and nobody said nothing. Jesus was put in the grave, and they all mourned and had a fit. On the third day, Jesus came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Bible says he was seen by over 500 witnesses. Nobody said nothing as far as the world goes. Tried to push it back into obscurity, but they wasn't able to. But the Antichrist gets a head wound, dies, and brings back to life, and all the world goes into a party. Satan has got them right where he wants them at that time. You think about that. And they worship, this is where he receives the worship. Verse 4, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is what Satan has always wanted. While heaven rejoices over that Satan has been cast out, the whole world is rejoicing that the Antichrist has been set up. You got to understand something. As I was looking at this and reading it, and they worship the dragon. This is Satan. Satan is getting exactly what he wants. He wants people to bow down and worship him. And they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? They're basically thumbing their nose at God right here. Who is able to stand against this? Oh, it's coming. It's coming. We know who's going to stand against this. But that's what the world is going to be like. Now, we had the accolades. Let's look at the activity of the beast. Verse 5 through 8, these verses tell us what kind of man the Antichrist is going to be. Verse 5 and 6 talks about how he defies God. He is going to be a great politician. This man, I won't never forget back when Obama was running for president. I remember we were sitting at the house one night, and we were sitting there. This was very early in the presidency race. Nobody knew who Obama was at that time. We were sitting there, and he was giving a speech, and my wife said, I might vote for him. I said, you must be lost your mind. We ain't voting for him. He's full-blown Democrat. Well, we ain't voting for him. But he was such a good orator. He was a good talker. He was able to get people to do what he wanted them to do. Now, all through history, we find people like this. This man is going to be able to control the world by his speeches. Now, if you go back and study history, you know that Adolf Hitler, by his words, stirred up the whole nation of Germany. Just by his speech. I mean, Adolf Hitler was able to push the right buttons. He was able to get up. He knew when to come close to the mic. He knew when to back up. He knew just how to do it. If you go back and study history, we find that John Kennedy did the same thing in the presidential debates against Nixon. We know that John Kennedy kept his cool under the lights. He didn't sweat. When the TV camera pointed over to the opponent that he was running against, they were sweating. John Kennedy was cool in his words. He didn't get frustrated. And I'm telling you right now, the Antichrist is going to be like that. He's going to be able to talk people into anything he wants. Oh, no, not me, preacher. You know how I know this is going to happen? Look what happened in 2020. The government said do it, and people flocked to do it. Amen. I still believe that COVID was just a test to see what the masses were going to do. Amen. And the masses, it reacted just like masses always do. So you got to understand something. Hitler said this. This is a direct quote from Adolf Hitler. You say something long enough, say it loud enough, and people will eventually believe you. Amen? And we know what happened with Hitler. He defies God. He destroys the saints. The Antichrist is going to make it his mission to seek out and destroy anybody that worships the one true God. Now, you understand, and in the next few weeks, we'll get into the mark of the beast, but he's going to destroy the saints. I don't want to get ahead of myself preaching on the mark of the beast, but most of us know what's going to take place when the mark of the beast. But it dominates the nation. The Bible says the Antichrist is going to rule the world. He is not going to try and rule the world. He is going to rule the world. How is he going to rule the world? Let me tell you something. When it says world, it means world. When the Bible says world, it means every nation. The Bible says every nation. That means the great United States of America will turn over power to this man. That means the great nation of England that's been ruling almost all over the world for centuries are going to just turn total power over to this man. Because he's that good. The Bible says he rules the world. He receives the world's worship. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. This is what Satan wants. He's going to dominate. He's going to rule. He's going to deceive. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Did you get that? Anybody that's left that has not taken the mark of the beast. And that there are going to be some people that's left that's not going to work. We know from studying last week that the nation of Israel is going to be hid in the wilderness. God's going to have his hand of protection on them. But anybody else that's not under that protection will worship the beast. See, at that time, there's going to be no choice. I've heard a lot of people talk, and I don't know, I'm trying to get on, I'm not, my mind's going to the mark of the beast. I've heard a lot of people talking about, I said this before several years ago, I think, when I was preaching. Now, I'm going to say something, and don't y'all look down on me, okay? I ain't always been saved. I ain't always been a preacher. I remember me and some friends, Adam was going out one night. And if I'm not mistaken, it was on a Wednesday night because we'd go party Friday and Saturday and take Sunday to recover. And then Wednesday night, we'd be back down at the beach. And I believe it was on a Wednesday night. I've been raised in church. I mean, I've been raised in church. I knew I wasn't living right. I knew I wasn't where I needed to be. But I remember we went to this guy's house. He was getting ready. He was running a little bit late, and somehow or another, y'all know how a bunch of drunks is. They'll get talking about God. Somehow or another, we got on the subject, Brother Ralph, of the rapture. And I'll be honest with you, I shut up. I was scared to death. I knew I wasn't right. I knew if the rapture took place right then, I was going to hell. But one of these guys uttered one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard in my life. He said, I'm just going to wait till the rapture takes place and then not take the mark of the beast. And I was lost. Terry, I was lost as a yard dog. I knew good and well I wasn't right with God. And I thought, you're an idiot. I mean, Benji, I was lost. I knew I wasn't right with God. But I'm thinking, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I knew enough about the Bible to know that wasn't going to be right. But there's some people that's got that attitude. Let me tell you something. If you can't live for God now, you can't be faithful to God now, you can't be faithful to God's house now, how in the world do you think you're going to be faithful to God when the church is taken out and the Holy Spirit, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is taken out, the protecting power of the Holy Spirit is taken out? How in the world do you think you're going to be able to live for God then? You're going to be worshiping this Antichrist is what you're going to be doing. I want you to notice one more thing and then I'm going to close. The final two verses has a special meaning for us today. Let's go back and read these final two verses. Verse 9 and 10. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Does that sound familiar to y'all? You've heard that before, right? We've been in church a long time. We've seen this statement several times before. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. If any man hath an ear, Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, verse 17, verse 29, chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, verse 22. If you go back and read these verses, here's what it says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It don't say that in chapter 13. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. You know why it don't say it? Because the church is gone. The church is gone. The protecting and the keeping power of the Holy Spirit is gone. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is going to be there because people will be saved. But I'm just telling you, folks. Now, a lot of people will say that this is actually midway tribulation. Some people believe that the church is going to go through part of the tribulation. Some people believe that the church is going to go through all the tribulation. I'm not here preaching on that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. At this time, the church ain't going to be here. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Who do you worship? Now I look around tonight and I see everybody here and I think I know most everybody here and I think everybody here is probably saved and ready to go. Praise the Lord. I hope you are. But you better decide right now. Better decide right now. Because when the rapture takes place, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. Amen. I want you to bow your heads.